everyone, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Nick.
And you're listening to It Takes Two, the podcast where two people take two movies with the same plot or premise and watch to discuss them.
Welcome to our first episode of 2026, where in this episode we're covering off movies about making movies. It's 2008's Tropic Thunder and 2025's Anaconda.
Yeah, we saw it in 2026. I don't think it was released till 2026 here in New Zealand, but it is.
It's a
2025 movie that was also made in 2025 and released in 2025. Released, I believe it was released New Year's Day here, so we saw it pretty shortly after, because we're recording this on the 3rd of January, and we've already seen it.
Yeah, so it was released December 13th in the States and 25 elsewhere? Maybe there was a premiere was on the 13th?
Right, yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
And, I believe it was the 1st of January that it was released here.
So
there you go. Because I looked at it and we couldn't see it last week.
Yeah.
See it this week. So these are two movies. starring Jack Black.
Yeah.
That are comedies, action comedies, maybe, about idiots making a film together and basically ending up in the plot of their own film.
Yeah.
For real.
Tropic Thunder is a very fun movie. Obviously, over the years, there's a bit of controversy around it because of, you know, Robert Downey Jr. playing an African-American character in the movie. And it's still, like, people have been asked of, like, okay, if who wasn't playing him, who would? And it's like, he's the only person that would have got away with it. And
it also came out the same year as Iron Man.
Yeah.
So, like, what a comeback for Robert Downey Jr. Because he had been kind of blacklisted from Hollywood because of all of his problems with substance abuse.
Yeah.
I believe, actually, the first director to take a chance on him back was Shane Black with Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which is one of our regular Christmas movies. Which is also why Robert Downey Jr. returned the favor and brought in Shane Black to direct one of the later Iron Man movies.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess this 2008 was the year of the Robert Downey Jr. comeback.
Yeah.
And he did Iron Man and Tropic Thunder. What a weird duo of movies to be your comeback.
It was interesting watching a movie so meta with Anaconda. And obviously, like, massive spoilers. If you haven't seen Anaconda, we recommend watching it.
It's very fun. I'm not an action person necessarily, and, like, I don't like a lot of the kind of very stupid comedies, as I would call them, the Anchormans of the world. That kind of thing.
The Anchormans.
And I found it incredibly funny.
Yeah, you were laughing the loudest out of the entire audience.
I did. There was like moments where I was like, why is no one else laughing at this movie? It's very funny. The only time that's happened to me before was the first time I saw Moonrise Kingdom. When I saw it, me and a friend went to the movie together and we're both laughing our asses off the whole way through it. And not a single other person in the cinema laughed once. And I was like, okay, I don't know why these people are at a Wes Anderson film when they clearly do not get the Wes Anderson sense of humor. But yeah, I genuinely thought this was a very funny, very good movie. I did have that moment when we were, you know, at the credits and I was going, Tom Gormican, that's a really familiar name. I wonder what other films I've seen by this guy. And then to discover that he's the guy who wrote and directed The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, which I also love.
Yeah.
So if you liked that movie, I absolutely recommend Anaconda. I think he's only done a handful of films. Those are the only two I believe I've seen of his films, but I will be watching out for more of his stuff in the future because I really enjoyed both of those movies.
Yeah. Now, comparing the actual movies, very, very different take, obviously. You got Tropic Thunder, who are a bunch of very, well, Todd Speedman, who's played by the director Ben, I was going to say Ben Affleck, is Ben Stiller.
Tug Speedman.
Tug Speedman.
Even weirder name.
Yeah, is a, like, over-the-hill action star. You've got Robert Downey Jr., who's an Australian bad boy. Kind of feels like they were taking the piss out of Russell Crowe.
Yeah, he said he based it... He was taking the piss out of Russell Crowe and Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
The character was supposed to be Irish.
Right.
And basically Robert Downey Jr. said to them, hey, look, I've just done this other movie where I had an Australian accent. It'll be a... And I worked really hard on that accent, so it'll be a lot easier for me to improvise in that accent than it will in a new accent. So they're like, yeah, sure, no problem. So really, I think the character was written to piss take on Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
and
Jack Black, who is playing basically like the equivalent of
Eddie Murphy. Yeah. So Ben Stiller's character, I think, is really a dig at Sean Penn. But also, I think all of them are like made up of a few different actors who fit these like kind of different stereotype actor roles. I think it's very much a film made by people working for a long time in the film industry about the kind of people they've worked with. Like, the Tom Cruise character is clearly based on real producers that they've worked with. Yeah. You know, I'm sure Matthew McConaughey's character is based on a real agent or, like, elements of real agents. It really seemed like the movie you would make about all your annoying coworkers.
See, my headcanon is just that Tom Cruise was just given free will to do whatever he wanted. Well,
Tom Cruise created that character.
Yeah.
So Tom Cruise was hired to play the character that Matthew McConaughey plays.
Right.
And then he said, actually, can we write in a producer and I can be the producer? And then... Ben Stiller himself wanted to play that role initially,
right,
and then ended up playing a lead in it, and then he cast Tom Cruise in it, and Tom Cruise backed out, and then he cast Owen Wilson in it,
right.
And what I didn't know about at all until I was reading this, reading trivia for this movie, is that Owen Wilson attempted suicide in 2007.
Oh, wow.
And that was why he's not in the movie.
Oh.
Literally... And him and Ben Stiller are obviously really good friends, go back a long time, and it was not like we're cutting him out because of this, it was, hey, you need time to recover and get back into, you know, health, mental health and physical health.
What was that amazing movie we watched?
What amazing movie
we watched? It was like a weird, like, terrorist attack family.
Oh, I was gonna say Extraction, but is that the other one?
That's the Chris Hemsworth boy out.
I know the one you're thinking of. I can't think of what it's called. It's something I like The Ambassador or something like that.
Yeah, it was such a good movie.
Really good. I really think Owen Wilson has really come into his own as an actor in the last like 5 years or so. What was that movie called?
It was
something pretty recent, but not too recent. Let me have a very quick skim of this.
I think we watched like the trailer and was just like, no, let's watch this movie.
Yeah, we really enjoyed it. Is it called No Escape? Is that it? Yeah, No Escape.
There you go. What year did that come out?
2015. So 2 years before he. Oh no! Sorry, it was 2000. I'm skipping ahead a year. So nine years after he attempted suicide. Right.
Yeah, fantastic movie. Highly recommend it.
The Darjeeling Limited came out in 2007.
Oh.
That's sad.
Anyway.
That's I do like that movie, but it is a very sad movie.
Again, like I said, massive spoilers for Anaconda 2025.
Yes.
So, it's described as a meta reboot, which makes sense when you get the context of the movie. Jack Black is playing a wedding video director / editor, I guess, and his mate Paul Rudd is like an extra, like he's like a perpetual extra trying to get his big break. Their mate what is his name? Can't remember what his name is. Steve Zahn is playing Kenny.
He's so good in it.
Who used to work with Jack Black but got fired because he always gets like absolutely smashed all the time.
I feel like Steve Zahn is in so many things and is like an underrated actor, but he was just so funny in this.
And then you got Thandiwe
Newton.
Thandiwe, yeah, there we go. Playing Claire, who's who's a friend who was always like the romantic lead. So basically it starts off with like some nostalgia about the fact that it's Jack Black's character Doug's birthday. And he goes
Well, actually it starts off in the jungle with the real people and the the plot they're going to stumble into later on.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah. Jack Black's birthday.
So they're planning to meet up, and they watch one of their old movies they made back when they were young, and it turns out that, you know, Doug didn't move with Griff, Paul Rudd's character, to Hollywood to try and make it big. And after watching the terrible home movie they'd made, Squatch, which was like a big Bigfoot horror movie, they decide that they're going to reboot Anaconda because Paul Rudd's character, spoilers, lies and says he's got the rights from the original Japanese author.
I never even looked into whether it was actually based on a book by a Japanese author. I feel like probably wasn't, but anyway, continue.
So yeah, and then they end up sort of in the jungle of South America trying to film this Anaconda movie based around a relationship which is very sort of more like Leia Han romancing the stone, kind of like scoundrel bad guy with a heart of gold. And it's such a, because there's so many funny setups, and I do highly recommend seeing this movie, but there are such funny setups in this movie. The supporting cast is great. The actor that played Anna, the actor that played Carlos, who's their snake handler. It's such a fun setup because it is like really low budget, because they've originally budgeted for like $2.5 million, and they basically got like $44,000 to make this movie on. So it's very, very budgety, and like, you know, there's all these like very scenes of like the fake snake, and like, you know, and it's such a fun movie premise about making a movie, which why it's so meta. And it's the same with Tropic Thunder, because you've got like just this, you know, it's all behind schedule. Most people have seen this movie, and for those who haven't, basically the filming, because they're all such massive stars, they're ruining their own movie basically by being, you know, all trying to be like the drama queen of the thing.
Yeah, yeah, it's like the Steve McQueen, Paul Newman divide of like, or Vin Diesel and The Rock, where they all have to be the bigger, biggest star of it. Yeah. You know, they're in this ensemble piece where they all think they're the number one.
Yeah. And, yeah, so they end up getting, you know, taken out into the jungle to film it as, like, indie style, because they're, you know, stuck not doing the scenes, because, you know, the only way they're going to get it is by making it look real. And, of course, they end up in a situation where they cross into Laos, which is, like, the drug highway of, like, Southeast Asia. And then they end up in real situations.
Yeah.
And it has that same play on, like, you know, they're not, well, Ben Stiller's character is not convinced they're not in a movie until way later. And because they've got all sorts of internal drama, Jack Black's character coming down from his opioid addiction.
Paired very nicely with Steve Zahn in Anaconda, who is the, you know, introduced very early on as having a substance abuse problem, and then starts stealing prescription medication and
goes what does nuts. He call himself? He's Buffalo Sober, which basically means only beer and wine and the like less spirit. So it's like, that's not sober. That's just not drinking like anything above 40% alcohol. That's not really sober. And it's just so funny because like the realism comes into play, and it is so much more meta in Tropic Thunder, because obviously you've got some very complicated, you know, method acting people. Ben Stiller, who's now, you know, he put his whole heart into making a movie, which is the dig at Sean Penn of what was short name? I Am Sam.
I Am Sam.
So when he plays Simple Jack, who's and basically when he gets, obviously spoilers for a movie that came out years and years ago, when he finally gets kidnapped by the drug manufacturers, the only movie they've ever seen is his like I Am Sam, which is Simple Jack.
Yeah.
And they just make him
Act it out
over and over again on stage to all these poor farmers farming poppies in these fields in Southeast Asia. And like, of course, he like gets so into the character again. And it's just such a, there's so many good lines, there's so many good scenes in the movie. It's such an absolute classic. I absolutely love Tropic Thunder. Just even Jack Black's lines when like the bat steals his like jelly beans, which is where he's keeping his heroin.
Yeah.
And the bat just falls down out of the sky and he runs into frame screaming, "You've OD'd," and then like bites it. And then he hits why can I never remember the character's name? The rapper wannabe.
Oh, Al Pacino?
Al Pacino. Like, repeatedly with the dead bat. Like, as he hits him worse in the groin, he picks the bat up again and throws it, like, in his face. It's such a funny scene. I always forget that, like, Danny McBride and Nick Nolte are also in this movie.
Yeah, because
Danny McBride just, like, embodies his character so much. Like, I always find Danny McBride like a fantastic actor. Did you ever watch Eastbound and Down?
No.
He's one of the funnier parts of This Is the End, which is a movie I can't watch anymore for reasons.
I think we are eventually going to do it in the podcast.
Maybe, oh, well, we'll have to.
We'll cross the bridge when we come to it.
Yeah, it's just, it's such a funny, funny setup of just, like, a bunch of fuck-ups, basically, like, going into a real-life situation.
Yeah.
Nick Nolte playing a, like, perpetual liar, because he's, like, a patriot who wrote this book about something that was, like, completely fictitious. Which means the opening role doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, 10 people went into the jungle to rescue one guy and 4 people made it back and, like, they, like,
2 of them wrote a book and one of those books got a,
made into a movie. Yeah. But then if he wrote the book as a tribute, that means none of it ever happened.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. I mean, it was just more meta, to be honest. But it is funny that in both of these, the movie, the whole film production is happening on the basis of a lie. Because in Tropic Thunder, obviously, it's Nick Nolte's character has lied about the whole real situation that they've based this movie on. And in Anaconda, Paul Rudd's character has lied about getting the rights to film Anaconda. Yeah. And in both cases, if that one person hadn't lied, they wouldn't have ended up in this
situation.
You know, in going to this place to film on location and then ended up in this situation where people have died and, you know, it's all this stuff happening. I also think, I know you were talking about the characters in Tropic Thunder being fuck-ups, and I would say that the same is true of Anaconda.
Oh, 100%. But
in a very different way. And also that, like, they turn it around.
Yeah.
So in Tropic Thunder, it's very much, it's the Zoolander situation, where it's these people who have been living these, like, lives of, like, skyrocketing fame and have no actual real life experience.
Yeah.
And have no, you know, to the point that, like, Al Pacino is maybe the most grounded of them. Oh, no, Sandusky, Jay Baruchel's character, is more grounded. But, like, that, like, they have to kind of pull down the others sometimes because they're like, what are you talking about? Like, especially Robert Downey Jr.'s character is supposed to be this, like, extreme method actor who has to be in character until he's done the DVD commentary. you know, that, like, they have to be like, no, you need to actually, like, be a person in this situation. You need to come back from whatever nonsense you're doing. Like, this is real. You can't be a character in it. Whereas in Anaconda, it's a, you know, and it's more realistic, I would say, or I don't know, I was going to say more grounded in reality, but I think, like I mentioned before, I think the characters of Tropic Thunder are obviously based on real people that these people know.
Yeah.
But whereas Anaconda is more grounded in reality for, like, regular people. In that these are people who you see what their dreams were as kids and how none of them have realized it. And they're all in various stages of, like, Thandie Wayne Newton's character, I think, is mid-divorce. Is that right? Yeah. Jack Black's character is in a job he hates. Steve Zahn's character is an alcoholic.
Yep.
And Paul Rudd's character has gone to Hollywood to do the dream and got 3 episodes on SWAT, and that's the most he's worked.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and struggling. And it's that they're all... None of them have gotten to where they want to be. And, you know, and the lie happens because Paul Rudd is like, I want us to get together. I want us to make a film. I want us to actually go out there and do this and realize our dream.
Yeah.
And then maybe I won't feel like such a failure. And the reality of it is that, like, you know, Paul Rudd's character has gone out and chased his dream.
Yeah.
Jack Black has a loving wife and child. You know, Thandie Wayne Newton's character, you know, she has lived a life. Her relationship didn't work out, but as we find out at the end of the movie, spoiler, she does get a new relationship.
Yeah.
Steve Zahn's character is a bit more of a... But, like, he seems happier than the rest of them anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's this, you know, coming around to be like, hey, actually, maybe we're not as bad as we thought. But also that, like, they do have to go through... And I find it really interesting, the character dynamics that obviously in Tropic Thunder, none of them really know each other and they're all kind of competing with each other to some extent. Yeah. Whereas in Anaconda, they start from a basis of being really close and good friends, and then they have arguments and separate and things go wrong, and then they come together again at the end. So it's more of a... There's an arc there that's quite different from the arc in Tropic Thunder. Yeah, yeah. Where they do kind of eventually work together and become closer, but they're... I don't think those people are going away from that movie and being friends.
It's such a interesting... Like, the meta-ness of Anaconda... Because obviously, again, spoilers. When it turns out that Paul Rudd's character Griff hasn't, which I found hilarious for a name,
Griff,
as in like con man.
Mm.
He didn't have it, and Sony are making an Anaconda movie.
Yeah, that's what they're actually. Sony are filming an Anaconda movie in the same location at the same time.
And then, yeah, you get, it turns out there is a giant, like, evil, well, it's not evil, but there is a giant, like, monster, a snake, stalking the woods, like, eating people, like, left, right, and center. And it's such a funny moment of, like, Paul Rudd being like, well, screw you guys, I'm going to try and be an extra in the actual Anaconda movie.
Yeah.
And then runs away to find their entire, like, filming, like, super riverboat. It's not even like a riverboat like therein, which is like, you know, multiple bedrooms. This is like a super yacht, but riverboat.
Destroyed. Everyone's gone.
Yeah, the lady that
and
we're
it's also
to.
Like 5 minutes after they just saw them going down filming.
Yeah, it's at least with like, have you seen the original Anaconda?
No, I don't think I have, actually. I'm trying to think about it.
It's actually a really fun
movie. I've seen
movie.
Lake Placid, which that's, was around the same period where they were just making movies about giant animals.
Like, that's the alligator crocodile.
Yeah, it's
one.
An alligator
it's
one.
It's an alligator, yeah. I have seen that. I think I've only seen it once. And
There's another movie around the same time that's also that's a crocodile, I think, so it's probably on our list somewhere. Lake Placid.
Crocodile Dundee?
No, Lake there was another one like Lake Placid. There was 2 of those at the same time. That was definitely like a twin film situation, I think. But I don't know. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, and then you get the again, spoilers, the massive twist of like the fact that people are hunting Anna, and that's why she's like lying, and Doug's like infatuated with her when she ends up saving them the first time from what they think is the bad guys, and then he starts writing her as, like, the lead action hero.
Sorry, I was trying to look up what the twin film with Lake Placid was, but instead I found that there is a crossover movie called Lake Placid versus Anaconda. Anyway.
I don't think the giant alligator's name was Lake Placid, though.
Lake Placid where's the anaconda? The poster is an anaconda wrapped around the giant crocodile, but then also eating a lady in a bikini.
Right, of course.
Why is that a movie? Who decided to make Lake Placid versus Anaconda?
Didn't we go through the giant list of random shark movies that were on Plex?
Oh, there's so many random shark movies. I swear there was a twin film with Lake Placid, but I can't think what it was.
Okay.
It doesn't matter anyway, really.
Yeah.
But that is very funny that there's a Lake Placid versus Anaconda. How does that even make sense? Because the anaconda is in a river in South America, right?
Yeah.
And isn't Lake Placid like in the USA and it's a lake? They don't connect. Where? Yeah, it's in Maine. That's like northeastern USA. Like, you're not getting to Maine from anywhere in South America.
Yeah, that's some Stephen King.
How?
He loves Maine.
Yeah, he does love Maine.
It's such an interesting, because it's the Anaconda is such a meta movie. It is very, like, the original one with Ice Cube and J-Lo and, who am I missing? Who was the person I'm missing? Who was in the other original?
Owen Wilson, apparently.
Right. Yeah, 2000...
Because he was one that they wanted to bring back for this one and didn't, and I thought it was
interesting. John Voight was the other.
Oh, yeah, John Voight.
Yeah.
Who is also in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting that both of these movies were supposed to have Owen Wilson in them, and then neither of them did.
The other one did have... Oh, right, was he supposed to return for this one? For the 2025
yeah,
one?
Yeah, they wanted to have him and John Voight in the 2025 one, and then they decided not to, because the only way it would make sense to have them in the 2025 Anaconda would be if they were appearing in the fictional Sony production of Anaconda that's happening within the movie.
Right.
But they both die in the original movie.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't make sense in the meta for them to have come back to film this 2025 in-movie Anaconda movie when their characters are dead.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So then there was no other reason to have them be in the film about it.
Do you know a bunch of characters? Spoilers for books that are unrelated. But, you know, in Jurassic Park, a bunch of people who die in the book come back in the second book.
Why?
And he also wrote Westworld.
Yeah, I know he wrote Westworld.
Which led to the fan theory, which sort of got really co-opted with Jurassic World.
Yeah.
That it's just another version of Westworld.
That makes sense.
Where you could just constantly have, like, a really weird thing where the dinosaurs escape and a bunch of people die, but there is no issue with it because they're not real people. Yeah.
It turns out the twin film with Lake Placid is literally just called Crocodile.
Okay.
So that's one we'll do at some point, I guess. Lake Placid and Crocodile.
Are there crocodiles in America? Because aren't crocodiles Australian?
Yeah. I think there's actually technically both in America. Is this actually an American film? Crocodile 2000. That sounds like I'm like writing a it's like the name of my movie is Crocodile 2000. Where is this one set? Oh god, why is it it's just like, oh, it's in California. Maybe they have crocodiles in California and alligators elsewhere. I don't know, is it supposed to be a crocodile in or an alligator in Lake Placid?
Oh, it's an overarching term. That makes more sense.
Oh, okay. Wait, so you're saying crocodiles and alligators are the same thing?
No, so it's an order, Crocodilla.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Which includes alligators and caimans.
Okay.
So there are African, Asian, American, and Australian crocodiles.
Okay.
Yeah.
At a glance, it doesn't look like crocodiles are anywhere as far north as Maine, though.
But because they would be pretty warm.
But they do exist in California, so crocodile in California.
Yeah.
Makes more sense than Lake Placid in Maine. Oh, well. Weird. Anyway, this is about anacondas.
Yeah. I've seen Hunt for the Blood Orchid, which is a second one.
Tom Gormican watched all of the Anaconda, all of the Anaconda movies, including all the made-for-TV ones.
Yeah, which in prep is for this. Anaconda 3, Offspring, Anacondas, Trail of Blood, and then Placid versus Anaconda.
Yeah, I was going to say, I assume he watched Lake Placid versus Anaconda in his research. And apparently the original script for Anaconda 2025 featured a lot of references to the second movie, the one that you said you've seen.
Yeah.
And then people were like, no one has seen this movie. Please don't reference, like, just stick to referencing the original movie. Yeah. He's like, okay, fine. But his original script was like heavily referencing the second moon because he obviously really enjoyed the second movie.
It's like it was like Immortality, if I remember correctly. Fountain of Youth. So yeah, Immortality.
Oh yeah, typical Fountain of Youth.
Yeah,
always pops up.
Yeah, especially when you're like
Anaconda movie,
sending a bunch of good-looking people into the Amazon. It's always for Immortality, right?
Yeah, and then they find an anaconda down there.
Yeah, and eats them all.
I wonder then, did the original script include like the Fountain of Youth being in there instead of like gold miners?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, because like I love the two moments in the movie where Griff and Doug, Paul Rudd and Jack Black look at each other and go, themes.
Yeah. That's it. They're like, the secret to writing a good film is to have themes.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, yes.
Yeah.
But they never like really elaborate on that. But then they're like, revenge.
Yeah. Because he's playing out, like, the fact that, like, oh, we're going to pull some, like, real stuff that's happening, which is, like, illegal mining
into
the script of the movie. And then it turns out, again, like I said, spoilers, several times earlier, turns out Anna is the illegal miner.
Yeah.
And the people that have been chasing them are the police.
Yeah.
Which is such a, like, funny turn, because, like, there's normally not who ends up
When you've got these, like, rough-looking guys on motorcycles chasing after a young woman through the jungle, you don't expect she's a gold miner and they're police. It is fun, because it is meta. It's feeding into your expectations as an audience.
Yeah.
But then it's really funny, because the setup, when you realize that actually she's the bad guy.
Yeah.
I was going to say Doug, but that's Jack Black's character. Griff, who's Paul Rudd's character, has separated from them to go to the Anaconda movie set and come back. And in the meantime, she's led them all to this place, and she's going to make them carry her hidden gold back to the boat. And then the police guy shows up and saves them, and they're all like delighted. And then Paul Rudd is coming up, and you're watching the movie, and I'm like, Paul, no, Griff. You're like, this guy is an idiot, and he's going to shoot the police officer. And you just like, there's like tension leading up to it, but like comedic tension, because you know exactly what's going to happen. And then when he does it, and he's all like, haha, and they're like, no, Griff, she's the gold miner, he's police, you've just shot a cop. And it's very funny.
I did like the action in this movie is a little over the top, but it's same in Tropic Thunder. Like, the action in Tropic Thunder is, like, insane.
Yes.
And it is very, like, the funny part about it and why it's such a fun movie is because they are doing Hollywood action sequences in real life, which is why it's so meta, because, again, it's a movie about a movie. And it's just such a, like, over-the-top, silly moments that happen, especially when, like, the flamethrower comes out with Nick Nolte, and he's just, like, you know, being all crazy, and Danny McBride using, like, improvised explosives to, like, help them, and the scene where, like, the kid walks out with the, when they've, like, made it over the bridge, and they're, like, doing their acting part of, like, trying to film the sequence they couldn't film in the first sort of act one of the movie, and you know, Matthew McConaughey saves them with a TiVo by blocking an RPG with it.
It's so good. Matthew McConaughey is fantastic in that movie. Yeah. I think he might be the best part of that, the whole movie, yeah. is Matthew McConaughey in Tropic Thunder. Also, you were talking about them doing, like, real Hollywood action sequences in real life, but, yeah. like, the opening sequence of the movie where they have, so not the fake ads at the beginning,
yeah,
but the opening sequence of the movie where they have them, like, as if they're filming in real time, these big action shots,
yeah.
actually took 3 weeks to film.
Yeah.
So most of the filming on that whole film was actually, like, that, like, beginning 10 minutes or whatever, where it's supposed to be filmed in, you know, in real time.
Yeah,
yeah. I also like that both of these movies have, like, a huge one-off, can only be set off once and filmed once pyrotechnics thing that happens. That they use them at opposite ends of the movie, because obviously in Tropic Thunder it's like set off right at the beginning when no cameras are rolling, and then it kind of sets off the chain of events. Whereas in Anaconda, it's what they're trying to use to destroy the Anaconda. And it's very,
because they're on the destroyed set of, like, the Anaconda.
But
movie.
All the pyrotechnics had been set up.
Yeah.
Then they're like, we're going to lead the Anaconda through here, and then we're going to set off all of the explosives.
It's such a fun sequence of them, like, going, like, no, we have to, like, defeat the Anaconda.
Yeah.
Again, spoilers, the random cameo by Ice Cube, who'd come back
to, so good.
come back to film the reboot of Anaconda. It was just so funny.
And then he's like, I gotta go find J-Lo.
Yeah, J-Lo's gonna be fine. She's Jane from the block.
Oh god, who was the other person that's supposed to be with them?
It was
someone else from the original.
Eric Stoltz?
Oh, yeah, Eric Stoltz. He had to go save Eric Stoltz because he knew J-Lo would be fine because Jenny's from the block.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is just a fun line to throw in there as well. Yeah, really, really funny. And I love that, like that, you know, kind of there is another movie in there where it could have been Ice Cube and J-Lo and Eric Stoltz going to film a reboot of Anaconda and encountering the real Anaconda.
Yeah.
Because that happened in this, it just happens off screen.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, oh yeah, Tropic Thunder for real is happening as well, you know, with these big names. I was going to say big actors. I don't know if you could call any of those three big actors, but these big names that everyone knows.
It's such a good, like, it was thoroughly enjoyable. You said it was quite low rated so far, right?
Yeah. Surprisingly low rated for me. I think it was like 6.1 or something, which isn't low, I guess, but it's, you know, I would have expected to be higher. Yeah. I think it's a very fun movie.
It was a very quiet theater.
Yeah.
But then again, we did go to like 11 a.m.
Yeah, we went 11 a.m. on a public holiday.
Not exactly. Oh no, sorry, we're sold out kind of timing. We've seen a lot of movies in this last sort of 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think it's really nice. That would be my ideal for like every week.
There's not enough movies.
But we've got at least one other 2026 episode planned that will involve going to the cinema to see a movie for an episode, and I am so excited about it. I'm not going to spoil what it is. But it's a movie I'm really excited to see, so I'm excited to watch it in cinema, and I'm excited to watch it for the podcast, and I'm excited to talk about it on the podcast.
Spoiler alert, it's not Avatar, because we've already seen that.
Yeah, of course it's not Avatar. What would I compare Avatar 3 to? Avatar 1?
Waterworld, I don't know.
It's supposed to be the fire people, and it just doesn't even have a plot. Anyway, let's not talk about Avatar 3. Oh, why did you bring up Avatar? Guys, if you only have enough money to go see one big movie this month, go to Anaconda. Don't go to Avatar. Anaconda has a plot. Anaconda has characters that you care about. Anaconda has comedy and action. It has callbacks, nostalgia. It feels real and grounded in, like, actual humanity. And it has all the big special effects. You know, it's got a giant snake. It's got lots of explosives. It's got on-set filming or on location filming in a jungle that's supposed to be South America and I believe is actually Australia. You know, it's like a good movie and an enjoyable movie. And it doesn't have reused scenes because you can't remember what your plot is and jumping around and things that don't make sense and characters never growing and making not only the same mistakes they made earlier in the same movie, but the same mistakes they made 5 times in the last movie. And then the character who hates them for their mistakes going, oh, I don't care that you did it again. I just don't care anymore. And that's the whole movie.
The end.
Don't go watch Avatar. They have enough money already. They don't need your money.
It's like $800 million.
God.
And it'll keep printing more.
Yeah.
And I'll keep making you go see
them. I know.
That's the worst part, she says.
Yeah, at least I got my jumbo popcorn.
Yeah, it was good.
Anyway, Anaconda is a much better film.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what the comparisons are to these movies. There's a lot. There are a lot.
Like, it's the concept of the movie within the movie is so meta that it is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Because, like, every single scene that's, like, supposed to be in Tropic Thunder, the movie.
Yeah.
So the movie that's in the movie is already played out. It's already over the top. It's you know, we've done, Vietnam has been done to death when it comes to movies. There are absolute classics out there that, if you have 3 hours of your life, go watch Apocalypse Now. Because I've seen that movie twice and I don't remember any of it because it is so long. Except for all the bits that people take out of context and then use in, like, media.
Yeah.
But, like, even the death scene is played on, like, Platoon. The over-the-topness of the action is sort of more along the lines of, like, the bad World War II movies. Because the one that always pops to mind is Wind Talkers, which is a Nicolas Cage, John Woo action movie about a really serious subject. And it is so over the top and hilarious that it always just cracks me up because we have to watch it for our own pleasure at some point, because I know I said that like ages ago and we haven't.
Right.
And it is, you know, as we've gotten into the whole fact that they're rebooting Anaconda, we've just explained there are how many, like, eight movies of the Anaconda film series?
Yeah, something like that.
There's the original, Hunt for the Blood Orchid, Offspring, Trail of Blood, Lake Placid. So this is the sixth Anaconda movie. It's just very fun, but very meta.
That's fair.
Meta monster movie. So we go, I've got to... No, because there's no monster in the... Damn.
There's no monster in the Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, that is not the title of the episode.
As our listeners will know, because they'll be listening to it with a title that we come up with after.
Yeah.
They both end similarly as well. Tropic Thunder, they don't end up making the movie of Tropic Thunder, but they end up making
the movie of the movie.
Yeah, like a documentary about the failings of the movie and all the things that happened that caused them to not be able to make the movie. And then, so the ending is like at an award ceremony accepting an award for that.
Yeah.
Whereas the ending of Anaconda is at a film festival that they're showing the unlicensed, unofficial Anaconda film that they made without a license, and then they get a cease and desist letter from Sony. But then in the mid-credit sequence, spoiler alert, J-Lo shows up at Doug's house and is like, hey, we're making a new Anaconda movie. We want you to direct it. Which I think is very funny. She's like, I saw your film. so that's kind of fun. But they do both kind of end with, you know, they did make a movie that's not the movie they intended to make, but here's, you know, what they've come up with from the footage that they did capture from these, you know, in Anaconda, they're using the Sony cameras as part of it to get, like, them killing the actual snake. And they're, you know, Steve Zahn's character was using his phone to film some bits and the camera to film, you know, using the camera when they were actually planning to film, but then he ends up pulling out his phone to film other parts of things that are happening, and then setting up the actual Sony cameras to film the ending. And in Tropic Thunder, like that, there's, you know, these action, there's these like character scenes filmed at the beginning and the big action sequence, filmed with their actual film cameras, but then they set up like hidden cameras throughout the jungle, and while they don't actually do what they're supposed to do, some of that is obviously caught on these cameras, then they have the CCTV from the place where they're making the heroin, which Ben Stiller's character Tug Speedman keeps looking at these CCTV cameras being like, oh yeah, they're still filming, and then keeping in character. That's so stupid.
Do you want to move on to some trivia?
Yeah, I'm can do.
There's a lot of it.
Yeah, I've only taken like a small selection, I feel like, so not too much. And some of it we've talked about already. I did mention that nearly all aspects of Les Grossman, the producer character, were developed by Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Including the look of the makeup, the dancing, characterization, etc. He just did that. He just chose all that himself. I think they worked together to like design the obvious makeup effects, so like the stuff on his face and his head, prosthetics and extra hair on his chest and his arms. But Tom Cruise also insisted that he wanted to play the character with oversized prosthetic hands.
Yeah.
So that's just a Tom Cruise decision. Yeah. And like I mentioned, he basically created that character because he was cast initially as the Rick Peck.
Yeah.
Yeah. The water buffalo that Jack Black rides during the movie, which like he wants to like attack it first, and then they end up like kind of strapping him to it and getting him to ride through it while he's going through withdrawals. Turned out it was pregnant, which they only found out because they came in to set one morning to film and she was nursing a newborn calf. They were like, what? You mentioned controversy around the character of Kirk Lazarus, who gets like a skin pigmentation surgery or something to look like a black man. They actually screened the movie to the NAACP before they did any kind of wide release with it to make sure that they were happy enough with the portrayal. And like that, it is very much, you know, it is a spoof or a satire on people who have done this. Like, there are people who've won Oscars or been nominated for Oscars for performing in blackface or yellowface. So it's not unheard of. So yeah, it makes sense to make fun of those characters. So I think they were making sure that they were happy with that portrayal. I mentioned the first action sequence took up the first 3 weeks of production. So the gang that they have in there, the Flaming Dragon, led by a preteen boy, were modeled after an actual guerrilla army in Myanmar called God's Army, which were founded in 1997, and at the time were led by twin brothers Johnny and Luther Hattu, who were 9 years old. So that's just a real thing that happened. And apparently the 9-year-olds were very fond of American action movie heroes, especially Rambo. So that's why it makes sense to have this kid who's based on these real kids be actually familiar with the Hollywood stars. For Anaconda, one thing that was funny, because I didn't think about it when we were watching it, but Doug mentions that the friend group have been wanting to remake Anaconda since they were kids.
Yeah.
Jack Black and Paul Rudd were both 28 years old when the original Anaconda came out. So, the timeline doesn't quite add up there, I don't think. I think it's implied that they're, like, supposed to have been teenagers or maybe, like, end of high school, beginning of college when it came out. So, I guess they're supposed to be 10 years younger than they actually are. Apparently, the original location that they wanted to film at became unavailable, and they had to rewrite the whole ending, including Ice Cube's cameo.
Right.
And then when they secured a second location, the set was destroyed by a cyclone and had to be rebuilt again.
Jeez.
So that's some bad luck, especially when the filming is happening on like a supposedly destroyed set. I mentioned John Voight and Owen Wilson were both supposed to be in the reboot, but I've explained why they were kind of dropped. but they are still both mentioned. They filmed it in Australia and Queensland between January and February of 2025. So they literally took less than 2 months to film it and then released it in the same year, which is crazy considering the amount of special effects that are in that movie.
Yeah.
So when they first take off in the boat, a map opens and it shows Manaus in Brazil, which is, while that's not where this film was actually filmed, it is where the original Anaconda film was filmed. So it makes sense that that is where the characters would go to film this Anaconda.
Yep.
And then the last thing is that Tom Gormican intentionally cast Paul Rudd and Jack Black against type. I will mention, I didn't take it down, but he did initially actually approach Nick Cage and Pedro Pascal to play the two leads, which is very fun, which would also be very funny, but I think it works really well with the character, with the actors that they've got.
Yeah.
But it's something to think about, that like he cast Paul Rudd in the comedic failed actor kind of role, which you might expect to see Jack Black in, and then made Jack Black the kind of, you know, almost straight man, family man, emotional core of the group. So it's an interesting kind of flip to have. And, you know, he just basically said, if you're going to pair them together, he thought it'd be funny to have them in reverse roles. And he thinks that they both have talents in both areas, so it made sense and worked well. But yeah, he just wanted to have the pairing to be different to what people would expect to see from a Jack Black, Paul Rudd together movie.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a cool thought. But I do think they're both, you know, for considering that they're both mostly known for like comedy, they are both very versatile actors, I feel like.
Yeah.
Thandiwe Newton is obviously great. Like you mentioned, we've been watching Westworld, and she's great in that. She's so good in that.
She was so good in that. Yeah, I was like staring at her on screen. I'm like, she's so familiar. I've watched something recently with this person. Yeah, and I was like racking my brain like the entire time, being like,
oh, really?
Yeah, I was like, I know she's in Chronicles of Riddick, but I've seen something that happened recently with her.
Yeah, she's in Westworld, and she's just like incredible in Westworld. I feel like it might be the best acting I've seen from her, but I think she's good in pretty much everything she's in. I think it's a really good cast.
Yeah.
I think, not that Tropic Thunder is a bad cast, I feel like Tropic Thunder is a very 2000s cast.
Oh,
does that make sense?
Yeah.
Just like, I guess, the original Anaconda is a very 90s cast when you think about who's in it. You're like, yeah, that's a 90s cast.
Yeah.
Tropic Thunder is very much a 2000s cast. I don't feel like this cast is like the cast of the 2020s or anything.
No,
though Jack Black is in a lot.
Yeah, you would have Timothy Chalamet and
Zendaya,
and
Tom Holland,
and Jason Momoa.
Jacob Elordi seems to be in lots of things these days. Yeah. That would be a very different movie.
Very different.
I just think it's really well cast. I think the cast work really well together. I think they're all like that, like I said, all very versatile actors. Even Steve Zahn, who, like I said, is in so many things.
Yeah.
But I just think he's very funny in this particular role. Yeah. that they obviously, you know, they're all actors who've been in the industry for a very long time. And obviously worked really well together and made it really feel like, yes, this is a group of friends who are feeling very nostalgic for this period in their life where things looked like they had a positive outlook on the future.
Yeah.
And things haven't quite gone the way they wanted.
There was one similarity that I forgot about earlier, and I kept remembering it every time you were talking, and then I'd go to say something and completely remember it because it wasn't relevant to this what you were saying at the time. The awards they both get.
Yeah.
So Ben Stiller from like one of the kids in the village gets handed like a Stickman Oscar.
And then he decides that child is his son.
He's going to adopt the child. And then before he goes on the trip, Doug gets handed a trophy by his son.
That's also like a fake Oscar.
Yeah, but it's like World's Greatest Doug.
Yeah,
and they
which
were supposed
is very
to
funny.
Get it as dad, but he got it as Doug. And I thought that was the funniest thing.
Did think about that while you were talking about something else as well, but I looked up on the IMDb page for Anaconda to see if they put it in as like a direct reference to Tropic Thunder.
Right.
But it's not listed as one, but like I feel like
if
anything in this movie is a direct reference to Tropic Thunder, it's that thing. He has the fake Oscar. And then obviously, you know, in Tropic Thunder, he just has it and he's going a bit nuts. But in Anaconda, he literally uses it to kill the Anaconda in the end. Spoiler alert.
You just say spoilers you say the spoiler.
So it's a Chekhov's Oscar. Fake Oscar. What was it? I wrote down Chekhov something. Oh, Chekhov's satellite phone.
Yeah.
In Tropic Thunder. Because his agent, Matthew McConaughey, Rick Peck, is like, here's a satellite phone, and that's a real satellite phone, so don't go selling that and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, okay, that's going to come back to us when we're lost in the jungle and we need to contact someone.
Talking of coming back to us, thank you for joining us in 2026.
Yes.
If you've enjoyed this episode or any other episodes, please share with friends, because actual engagement helps far more than you could possibly imagine. If you want to go to our website, it's takes2.co.nz, made by the lovely Lisa. Mm-hmm. She's just been doing some edits to it. It looks fantastic.
I've added a news section, so if you want to recommend our podcast to your friends and you don't know where to start, there is now a where to start section on our website, which recommends some episodes to get you going.
And it gives you links to everything you could possibly need, including joining our Discord and us on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for joining us. We hope you continue listening to us ramble on about movies for this oncoming year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll catch you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Bye.